Our Heavenly Father, as we look into your word this morning, just guide us. Let your Spirit teach us. And Father, help us to fall more and more in love with our Savior. We love you and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much. Elbow bump the person next to you, and then you may be seated. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. It's good to see you all here this morning. We're going to be looking at John 20. The 20th chapter of John. It's not going to be on the screen, so you're not going to see it there. So find your Bible, your telephone, your iPad, or all of those, whatever piece of equipment you have to look at as we look there today. And I want to just preface this by saying probably most of us here sometime in our life received or wrote a love letter. And many of us started when we were in elementary school. Remember the first love letter you wrote? To Johnny, and you wrote it, Johnny, do you like me? Yes or no? Circle one. Yeah, remember that? Yeah, I do. And Johnny would circle yes, and he'd send it, give it to Billy, who would give it to Sam, who would give it to Lyle, who would give it to Betty, who would then give it to you. You know how that went back in the day. And then as we matured a little bit, we could write much better, and I always print everything, but I think my letters to Sandy, I did in cursive because that was cooler, you know, and I wanted her to think I was extra cool when I wrote those love letters. And I was at Moody, and I would send them to her in Allegan, Michigan, and she would send them back to me, and we put that little 3-cent stamp on there and whatever it was back and forth, and the whole Pony Express. Well, you see, John, the disciple of Jesus, was so in love with Christ that when he wrote this gospel, it just, every verse comes out with his love for Jesus. As he starts it, he says, look at my Savior is also my Creator. He's the Word. He's all I need. And then John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and Jesus is talking about salvation and said, I am all you need for that. And it goes on, and he takes time, John does, to show us those times when Jesus stops. And he heals, and he teaches. And so by the time we get to chapter 20, we should be so indoctrinated with reading love from John that it just seems natural. You know, that is what happens when you're writing love letters back and forth, and then you have that opportunity to be together. And then it's what? It's just natural. The love that comes is just so natural. So as we read this, I'm not going to read it in its entirety. We are going to read, and study as we go through this morning. And so let's open to chapter 20, and I'll spread my notes out just a little. Oh, the first part of the, in your bulletin, that is a trivia question. Three. Those are trivia questions that we're not going to answer today. You take them home and do them, and everyone that gets it right will get a prize. I'll give a free sermon next Sunday if you get them right, okay? John chapter 20. Let's begin reading. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early. It was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved. Isn't that cool how John identifies himself? You know, it's kind of me. I'm kind of Jesus' special one, you know. Many of you were in large families. I've talked to you, and you've had, I've always asked, how many brothers and sisters? And 13, you know. I only had 4 brothers, you know, but we always knew which one Mom liked the best, Andy. Yeah, okay, I'm not going to get into that today, but Andy was her favorite. You know, and John says, you know, she came and told Peter and I that she had been there, and when she went to the tomb, the stone was not there. It was gone. Then they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter went out and the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. Well, Mary comes with this news, and we all know that. The other day I was talking with a pastor friend, and he said, do you find Easter difficult? The sermon part of it. He said, how many years have you done that? And I said, well, I'm only 41, you know, so just, but years we've, and how do you do, how do you get the excitement? And I was baffled that he would ask that question, number one. And number two, I just said, wow, how much more exciting can we get? And we read this story. And we read it over and over, you know, and I'm, like many of you, this is not the first time I've read John 20. You know, if I read John, the Gospel of John, 3 or 4 times a year, that's a few. And like you, you know, it's my favorite book to read, many of you. And when a person becomes a Christian, they've just accepted Christ, and they say, you give them a Bible, and they say, well, where should I start? I always tell them what? Leviticus. No, I don't, you know. John. Go to John. Read how much John loved Jesus, and read how much God loved us, and because you're one of his, what you have. And so as we're reading this, and the excitement's building, you get it? This big crescendo. I used a music term, Jeff. Crescendo. You know, this crescendo of went to the tomb, nobody, run back, tell the disciples, they're getting excited, they're going to go, they're on their way to the tomb. Why? I think number one, they thought Mary went to the wrong tomb. I bet Mary Magdalene was on, so just is dark. And she probably took a wrong turn and ended up somewhere else. Duh. Silly. Oh, I almost said something about ladies that wasn't true. You know, and so they said, we're going to go check it out for ourselves. And so they went, and as they got close to the tomb, they began to run. Because I think in the distance they could see an opening, and that opening wasn't there when the stone was put in front of the grave. And so they ran, and let me read you this because this is one of my favorite parts. Both of them were running together. Yeah, But let's continue. But the other disciple outran Peter. Oh man, he just kicked the afterburners on. You know, they were on their way, they're neck and neck, and they're running. And then the other disciple just said, "See you, Peter." And he had Nike 890s on, and Peter only had Nike 420s or whatever the numbers are. And he ran to the tomb and he stopped, and he looked in, and there where Jesus had laid. Were the grave clothes laying there. And there was the head wrapping, the napkin laying beside it. Well, Peter knows John is in his way, so he does that run thing where he goes sideways and he slides by John and he goes right into the tomb, and there he sees the clothes laid out, the grave clothes and the napkin. You know, many pastors take a lot of time talking about those folks that tell us that Jesus wasn't really dead. And you know what? The only explanation, one of the wonderful things I see here is we have two men that saw the same thing. If there were something that happened and you were eyewitnesses, two of you would be enough to convict somebody in court. John saw it. Then Peter saw it. Then you know what else? They were laying there just perfectly as I read it. If there had been a grave robbery, and that word robbery tells us what? It happened in haste. It happened, something was taken and grabbed. You know, I know it, at night. Here's a beautiful downtown Freeport jewelry store. And in that jewelry store, in some of those cases, are beautiful diamond rings. The thieves go in at night. And they say, be careful, don't break anything. And they gently, no, they smash it, they grab, and they go. I think John is letting us know, you know what, if someone had stole the body of Jesus, there wouldn't have been the linen laying there, the napkin laying there. And I think we can have assurance from just that small portion of the scripture that what John is writing is true. Let's read on. And stopping, they looked. Oh, that was John stopping. They looked in. Then Simon Peter came forward, him, and they went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes laying there. In verse 7, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lined with the linen clothes, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went in, and he saw and he believed. Well, don't get too excited yet, because I believe that word believe means that he believed Mary now. Because we read a little further on here that he said, For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Well, if we just stop there just for a second, what do we have? We have these two men and this one lady that we're reading about, Mary Magdalene and Peter and John, and they're there at the gravesite of Jesus, and they see the linen spread out, they see the napkin folded. They go home. Well, Peter and John went home. And I think of it, when John went home, you know, where they were staying, Jesus, the mother of Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And when John came in, and I'm sure that all of them said, What did you see, John? What was there, John? Tell us about what? And he told them. You know, I'm thinking, I don't know, it's not in the scripture, but Mary, the mother of Jesus, moms know stuff. They do. My mom knew everything. I'd come home some days and I would just bend over so she could spank me. You know, I knew she knew what I was doing. Nobody had told her. I just said, moms know. And I believe that Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, my Lord, my son, the Lord, he's alive. I know what he came for. I know his mission. We're talking about the divine to-do list of Jesus. And wow, on earth, we're getting to the end. And I believe that, boy, all the rest of them were in misery. And what did they do with him? I wonder what they did. The Romans did thousands of these crucifixions. During this one period of time, during the time when Jesus was crucified, I'm told and read that over 30,000 people were crucified. You know what they did? They had a trench and they threw the bodies in there. And I'm sure many of the disciples, what did they do? Did they take his body out and just throw it in that mass grave? Or have they hid it from us so that we can't say anything about it, you know, that he'd risen again? But I think Mom knew. I think Mom knew. All the rest of them were, their faces were long. I think she had a twinkle in her eye and maybe a little smile. Oh, my, he's risen. He's risen. Let's go on with our reading. Mary Magdalene. What a lady. Let's verse 11, if you're following along. Hold on. Oh, that could work. I don't know. Who put these in order? Did I do that? Yeah. When Mary stood weeping, and that, of course, is the Greek word for wailing, kalalio. She wailed. She wasn't just saying, you know, she was just, it was the mourn and the weeping, wailing of someone when someone dies. And she was wailing outside the tomb. And when she wept, she stopped to look in the tomb and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been. One at the head and at the other at the feet. Amazing, huh? An angel again? An angel. She's looking, she's crying, she's standing here, and she looks up. Oh. And then they say to her, "Woman, why are you wailing?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." She tells them what had happened. She said, somebody came, they took the body of my Lord, and we don't know where they have taken him. They didn't leave a note. No instructions. If you'd like to see Jesus' body, please. No. Let's read on. Having said this, she turned around. Whoops, I'm sorry. I wanted to make one more point before I got to verse 14. They said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said, they have taken the body of my Lord, and I do not know where they had laid him. Well, what they said to her, why are you weeping? Well, they knew probably why. They guessed that part of it. What were they really saying? I believe they were really saying to her, there's no reason to cry. There's no reason to cry. And again, go back to your childhood or when you had little children. I bet many of you have said to your children, why are you crying? My mother, I don't want to use my mother so much today. I guess my dad just did what my mom told him. You know, spank that boy. Okay. But my mom said, if you crying, I'll give you a reason to cry. You know, I don't know why you're crying, but I'll give you a reason. You know, but so the angels are saying to her, there's not a reason. I don't think she grasped that yet, of course, as we see as we go further. And we have this passage, just mark it down. I love this passage in John 16, verses 22 and 23, and it says this. This is Jesus talking. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep, you will lament, but the world will rejoice. Well, wasn't the world happy when Jesus died? When they looked at that, all the Romans and the Pharisees and all those folks, it's done now. We got rid of him. But the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth and she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she delivers the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. And us dads, same thing. What we go through until that baby comes, you know. But what John's talking about here is that travail and how the pain and you watch. I didn't watch. Some of you have watched your men watch your babies being born and see that anguish. And then the baby is brought to the mother and laid on her. And she doesn't remember the pain. She sees that baby, that pink little thing with all the little fingers and all the things babies do that I probably still do, you know. And also, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Okay, I thought I heard an amen somewhere, but whoa, my. Can you imagine? No one, you know, this last year, I've run into a lot of folks, and no joy. They told me they believed they were Christians, but no joy. Let's see, what does it say here? No one will take your joy from you. What Jesus is saying here is, when you know me, when I am part of your life, that joy that you have, nobody can take it away because I gave it to you. Question for you, folks. If you don't have joy, do you have Jesus? Amen. Thank you. I've got a toaster at the house. Sandy and I have a toaster at the house. She has her side. I have my side of the toaster. Two little things. You know what? That toaster has slots on the top. It's got little things that you push down, and your bread actually goes down. Little things inside that warm up, and the bread gets to the right golden color or crispy black, depending on how I do it. And then it pops up. Isn't that neat? That is a toaster. Why is it a toaster? Because it toasts bread. That is not too hard. Is that okay? I was asking Kyle if that was a good illustration. He's a Bible school student. Yeah. Well, guess what? One day, I put two slices of the wonderful keto-friendly bread that Sandy makes for me with her own little hands in the toaster, and I push it down. and I wait. And while I wait, I sing a song. I'm not going to sing a song. No toast. Can I tell you something that you already know? That's not a toaster. It's only a toaster when it toasts bread. If it doesn't toast bread, it's not a toaster. If you come and sit in a pew and claim Jesus and aren't full of his joy, guess what? You're a person sitting in a pew claiming that you know Jesus, but maybe you're not one of his, because nobody can take away your joy. Examine yourself today in that. Let's go on, because I only have an hour left. Did you see the visitors all go, what did he say? Having said this, she turned around. Then she saw Jesus. But she did not know that it was Jesus. And she said, Jesus said to her, woman, ask the same question that the angels ask. Why are you weeping? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. You're going to get a goose pimple. You are. There are a whole bunch of them. And Jesus said to her, and can you just imagine the most loving, soft, tender voice? And at the moment he said her name, Rabboni, teacher, it's you. Oh, I've just seen Jesus, the song. I don't know. How many times have we listened to that this week? 25, 30, 40, all the different. I love that song. I was going to sing it, but I can't. Well, actually, what you just heard was Sandy and I doing a duet, but we don't do that in public. Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher, and Jesus said to her, see, we have to remember, see in our mind, what happened between Mary and this next sentence. Because the moment he said Mary, and she realized him to be the Christ, she clung to him, she grabbed him, and she held him, because she thought he was gone, and he wasn't. He was there, and he was alive, and he knew her. And she just so tightly, and you've done that to loved ones, I know you have, when someone's gone away for a long time, or someone's come back, or there's been that person in the hospital, and you've just held on to them or their hand so tightly. Why did you do that? Usually because we think, when is the next time I'm going to get to be able to do this to this person? Especially when we leave our grandchildren, we usually get in the car and run. I mean, 18 of them, you know, 13 at one house. It's time to go, get in the car quick before they see we're gone. No, of course not. We stand around, we hug everybody. You know, and there's some tears sometimes because they know we're not going to see them in a long time. The folks in Florida that we see, they all know we only come for the weather, not for them. And so we hug everybody. But we hug them with that type of hug that it's that, oh, I don't want to let go. I don't want to let go. Go way back to your dating days again. Those love letters, then you're meeting together. Then you come home for... I just come home for weekends once in a while, and I'd date Sandy, and after I'd ask her to marry me, and she said, let me think about it for a while. No, she said yes, you know. Then those hugs became so much more intent. We would just hold each other because she knew I was going back to school and not knowing when I was going to, next time I'd have a weekend off. This is even more intent than that, because it was her Savior, who she thought was dead, and is alive. And she's holding him. Jesus says to her, hey, lady, let up a little bit. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said this. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers, but you, Mary, go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and your father to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went. Well, what Jesus said was this. He wasn't upset that Mary was giving him that wonderful, wonderful hug, showing him her love for him. He was saying, it's okay, Mary. I am going to be here a while. I have some things I want you to do. Go tell the brother and these things. And guess what? I will be ascending to my father, but not for 40 days. We're going to have time together. Do you now understand maybe a little bit more? Next week we get into Acts chapter 1, those last days of Christ before the ascension. Do you understand how truly amazing it was for those disciples and those that loved Jesus to be around him? Because they knew this, because Mary went and told them exactly what Jesus said, that he was going to be ascending, and they were and where they were in the family of God, and so we have that. And so I would imagine when he came into the room, and again, we'll talk about these things next week, how intense that time was together. Well, Mary heard what Jesus said, and we end with this today. Mary went and announced to the disciples, I like the ESV there, I have seen the Lord. Shortest sermon ever preached. Many of you would say amen if the pastor got up and did that. I have seen the Lord. She went into them. They were there. And she said, she announced it. She didn't mumble it. She didn't whisper it. You know, she announced it. No microphone. Many were gathered there. I think she burst through the door, put her hands up like I like to praise God and say, I have seen the Lord, the living Lord. Wow. And this is what he told me to tell you. He's going to be here for a while. And you're his brothers, and you belong to God, and God belongs, Jesus belongs, and we're all a family now because of what Christ has done. We can be a part. I'm so glad I'm a part. She starts singing that right there. And they knew, and they had that assurance. Wow. Leaves us just with three questions today before we go home. Because with all of this happening, and all the things that were going around, they were probably folks in that room. Folks in the assembly sometimes during the next few days that didn't know exactly what Jesus was, why he came, what he was doing. First question for you, you believe this story? You believe it? You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was in the grave for 3 days, and he rose again for your salvation? Number two, if you believe it, are you changed? If you're not changed and you believe it, that's called head knowledge. If you believe it and you're changed, that's called heart knowledge. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is so real to you that you say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Third one. Oh. If you say you believe it, and you say you love him, is it evident in your life? Do you know that first century church, wherever those Christians went, nobody had to ask what they believed? Why? They were bold. They were saying things when they knew they were going to get, like Stephen, stoned to death. When Paul was chasing the Christians all around and getting permission to go and hunt them all in that area and around that known world, was why? Because they were so bold and they were pronouncing Jesus Christ as the one who changed their lives. And when they were put and thrown into the arena with the lions, they sang hymns and praised God. At the same time they did that, they also sent slaves in. The lions. They wanted to see who the lions would get first, the slaves or the Christians. And the slaves would run and scream, and the Christians would gather and praise God. Wow. Today, if you're here and you say, wow, I didn't know that before. I didn't understand it that way before. You mean I can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? That he can be part of my life, and that not only part of my life, the life that I live through him? But Paul say, I don't live my life anymore. I live Christ's life. And everything I do to glorify him. If you're here this morning, and as we went through those three questions, you say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Man, I'd love to have an opportunity to show you how Jesus Christ can be part of your life. How you can live every day with the joy of Christ. I didn't say happy. Difference between happy and joyful. But there's joy in knowing Jesus. And so if there's anyone here today that is something in your life that we would like to explore, come and see me and talk to me afterwards. Or maybe someone else you know here that really you say, you know what? I watched you. The joy of Christ is in your life. Tell me about it. Well, we serve a risen Savior. We're going to sing a chorus before we go. If Jeff gets to the piano before I say you're dismissed. It's been a joy to serve Jesus today here. It's been a joy to proclaim the gospel. And it's been a joy to see all of you here. I have a wonderful rest of your Easter. Just go out praising Jesus and knowing that he loves us. Stand with me. What are we going to sing? Forgot. We're going to sing the chorus up from the grave he arose. And he's going to watch me because we're going to do funny stuff with it. Okay? Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his soul. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to say amen. Oh, man. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be here today. Thank you that you love us. You care for us. You sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. I ask that you dismiss us now, letting us just leave this place with hallelujah on our mouth. We love you. We pray these things in Christ's name. All God's people said, oh, amen. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful rest of your Easter.